Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah.
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy shit. Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
I mean, goosebumps. Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Good afternoon. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show, right here on 670 The Score. It's me, Spiegs, in the missing Lawrence formation, ready to take you into your weekend on a Friday afternoon. The rain is supposedly coming to the Chicagoland area around 6 o'clock, so they say, but my God, was it gorgeous today. I hope you got out there and took advantage of it. I thought the Cubs would take advantage of the weather and the wind blowing out. And early on, as the Reds were piling up runs, it was like, it's just a matter of time. And they got a few, but not quite enough. So if you're still listening, coming out of the Cubs 6-2 loss, it was 6-2, right? I think it was. Yeah, 6-2 loss to the Cincinnati Reds and Andrew Abbott, then welcome in. We are definitely going to talk a little bit of Cubs right here up until the 5 o'clock hour. Then we'll move on to a whole bunch of other stuff after that. Some Bears and more in the 5 o'clock hour. It is me, Spiegs. Chris Tannehill is here. He's right over there. Alex Kuhn.
And that man is Alex Kuhn.
I know. I was getting there.
Hello.
Alex Kuhn. That man is Alex Kuhn. Hello. Tanny, you jumped me. I mean, I was all set up. Now
you
I don't know
You were in the
middle
of saying his name. Yeah, right? You weren't.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. But I was definitely going to get there. But yeah, that man.
There's no one else to get to unless we're going to do studs again.
That man in the back is Adam Studzinski. Hello. As he's working on getting ready for the next thing. But we are the thing before the next thing. We are your radio huckleberries as we broadcast live to you from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. All right, so the Cubs lose to Andrew Abbott and the Reds. Folks, I don't know if you know this about Andrew Abbott. He's good. He's a really good young left-handed pitcher who is coming into his own. They give out Pitcher of the Month awards. Right? In the National League, in April, it was Yoshinobu Yamamoto. In April, in the American League, it was Max Fried of the Yankees. I'll be surprised if the Pitcher of the Month for May in the National League is not Andrew Abbott. Because on the month, he's started six games. He's got an ERA of 0.55. 0.55 in 32 and two-thirds innings. The whip is under one. Teams are only hitting .190. Against him. I mean, there's other real good pitchers. You might have heard of Paul Skeens. You know, there's other dudes, but Andrew Abbott is an absolute stud. So that happens. He had the fastball working inside to the righties and then the changeup working away like a better version of Matthew Boyd at his best. You know, like a really good version of Tom Glavine today was Andrew Abbott. And I liked the blonde mustache. I thought he had a lot of Jesse Plemons, the actor Jesse Plemons in him. You know Jesse Plemons. He's been in a million movies you like, whether you realize his name or not. Killing of the Flower Moon, Killers of the Flower Moon. It just a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, Andrew Abbott, very good. Colin Ray today, not so much. But here's the deal. You know the Cubs are good. They're one of the best four or five teams in baseball. If you're like me, you look at the power rankings that come out, either on MLB.com or sometimes ESPN, and every week they seem to shuffle a little bit at the top. I think the Phillies are number one on everybody's list right now because they just won like a million games in a row, and they're doing all of this, having lost their closer and with Aaron Nola on the injured list and what have you. Yeah, in a row. I think it was a million in a row. Or a million out of a million two. Something like that. A very good run for the Phillies. But the Cubs are there top five in just about every power poll. Sometimes four, sometimes three, whatever. They're a very good team. It's a great offense, etc. But we know they got some issues. We know they have some issues. And you might say to yourself, is it bullpen? Is it third base? Fun little stat on the Marquee broadcast today. Since May,
everyone has issues, yeah. Right?
It's true. He was talking about people, but he might as well have been talking about teams. There's no perfect teams out there. I mean, the Dodgers are scrambling for bullpen help. They just traded for the wrong Diaz. Diaz, is it? Diaz? They didn't trade for Edwin. Can't get him. But they traded for Alexis. He was an all-star like 2 years ago. Since then, he's one of the worst relievers in baseball, but they don't care. They're going to turn him around. They're going to flip him. Flip it for real. Because they flip people. This is what bullpens are. You know this. So look, there's no perfect team. Anyway, the fun stat that was on the Marquee broadcast today was that since May 19th, when Matt Shaw got called up, he has more hits than any third baseman in baseball. That's a fun stat.
I mean, that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
You're welcome, Justin Steele. I know how much they matter to you. And sound bites also matter to you. I once told Justin Steele, Alex Kuhn, I can tell you, I once told Justin Steele about that sound bite where he talks about stats and told him how much that we play sound bites and he likes sound bites. And he thought that was cool as well because he's Justin Steele.
So he likes when we play sound bites of his on the show.
Correct.
And it was well timed because he really is invested in Matt Shaw's success.
He is.
I remember when Cliff Floyd was on the show, he was talking about discussing. Oh, no, excuse me. That was Justin Turner. My bad. My bad, guys.
Don't worry, I dumped it all.
It's a dark moment. It's a dark moment in the what's been a great run for Alex Kuhn.
Well, it's over now.
Yeah. Goodbye.
See you, man. It's been fun.
I love that. I love when podcasts or radio shows have little sound bites that are like really funny and catchy. Like that's honestly one of the things that kind of get me going.
It gets
wrong, Justin.
It gets Justin Steele going when we play sound bites like his. Anywho, it could be bullpen that you're wondering about, but I think the Cubs need starting pitching help, right? Ken Rosenthal, vaunted MLB insider, certainly agrees. Where was this, Tanny? This was on...
On the BetMGM network.
It really was, and this is what Kenny said.
Does Ken Rosenthal think the Chicago Cubs are for real? What's up, everybody?
Yes, but with a caveat. I'm worried about their starting pitching and where it's going to go. Justin Steele, of course, is down. They haven't gotten Assad back. They've had various different issues throughout the course of the season. Imanaga is down right now as well. So, like a lot of clubs, they have concerns about their pitching depth. And the intriguing part about them is where their offense is and how Kyle Tucker, not single-handedly, but has really transformed them, as has Pete Crow Armstrong. So I expect them to still score runs regardless of what else happens. But ultimately, their pitching is a concern. Now, are they for real? They're absolutely for real. And they play in a weak division. St. Louis has been a huge surprise, but Milwaukee is not playing as well as people expected. Same for Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh, though they had a good series in Arizona this week. So I do expect the Cubs to win the division, but at the same time, they're one more pitching injury away from being in a really problematic state.
They will go get a starting pitcher, and they will get one maybe sooner rather than later. And while you may be somebody who's been screaming about the fact that they need bullpen help, they're doing a pretty remarkable job of making the bullpen work. And this is what MLB teams do, is they juggle and they shuffle and they find ways to make bullpens work. And history is littered with World Series teams, okay, that have incredible contributions from bullpen guys that you never heard of in May. Like dudes that came out of nowhere or dudes that struggled for a long time and then some little tweak got them going or trade acquisitions. Bullpens come together on the fly. I'll never forget a couple years ago in the World Series when it was the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, the best bullpen pitcher in each team. One was Josh Spores, S-B-O-R-Z, say that one three times fast, who had been mostly terrible for much of his Rangers career, couldn't find the plate, found the plate in the postseason, was dominant all postseason long. They used him all over the place to set up, used him as a middle closer, used him to, you know, to bridge from starters into the other parts of the bullpen. And the Diamondbacks had this kid, this lefty, Andrew Salfrank. Remember that dude, Andrew Salfrank? No. You don't. Trust me, he was massively important to what the Diamondbacks did. He didn't get into the big leagues until the middle of September that year. You find it everywhere. You want to stay local. Did you know that that Bobby Jenks existed at the beginning of the 2005 season for the White Sox? No, you were dealing with Shingo Takatsu and Dustin Hermanson. I mean, it happens everywhere all the time. And I'll tell you, two guys in this Cubs rotation who might be bullpen pieces by the time, you know, nut-cutting time comes around, and one of them is obviously Ben Brown, the other's Colin Ray. Colin Ray's been really good and been a wonderful story. Rough start today. Not a great start his last time out in Cincinnati. But where that velocity is right now, the way he goes after you, the way that fastball moves, the smarts that he has, the ability to do what is requested of him at any time, could very well be that Colin Ray is like a middle-inning killer for you come playoff time. They need a starter, and the bullpen needs some more time for things to come together. But these are... Man, these are some rich person problems. These are some big-time, high-end of MLB problems to think about. Don't forget, when Jed Hoyer talked about what they need to get the other day, he quoted his own manager, and he said, to quote the manager, what we need is just to get outs. We got to figure that out, whether it's the beginning of the game or the end of the game. I just told you two guys, Colin Ray and Ben Brown, who could end up in the back end of that bullpen. And then there's the guy they picked up yesterday, Genesis Cabrera. Did you see him today? An inning and a third, struck out three.
That's a real arm. I don't know why the Mets gave up on him. But the Cubs were smart to jump at it. Now they have three lefties in the pen. They'll have to sort that out. But Genesis Cabrera, that is a big-time arm. Still, what do you throw? Hit 96 today?
It's crazy. Everyone loves getting a Genesis. I remember 1994 for Christmas. That's when I got mine.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the best Christmases ever.
How many miles on it now? I mean, this guy has some miles on him, but he...
I meant the video game system.
Oh, yeah. The Sega. I thought you meant the Hyundai. Wasn't there a Hyundai Genesis?
Yes, there is.
There is, right?
There's one right here in the Hyundai Studios. I'm surprised you didn't see it right there next to you.
There's no Sega here in the Hyundai Studios. We got a Nintendo down the hall in the office, but Marshall keeps ducking me. Every time I want to play Tecmo football with Marshall, they're out on remote. They were at Brick House the other day. They were at Wrigleyville Dogs today. Sometimes they're singing the stretch. It's like, I mean, when you...
Coincidence, huh? like they're scheduling all these remotes to play you in Tecmo.
Hey, man, when you're on a big-time show like that, you know, when you are getting the love.
You're doing a stretch, you know, all of a sudden things change a little bit, you know?
I
wouldn't expect to even see him ever again in studio, to be honest.
I'm surprised he even talked to me. You know, yesterday or the other day in transition, I was like, are they even going to give me the time of day? They're big-time superstars. You see the way that Pat Hughes smiled at them? He's never smiled at me like that. Every once in a while, if I did a nice read coming back from a break, he'd say, very good, Matt, thank you. But, I mean, I did that smile. Whew, look at the love that they got, and deservedly so. I'm not bitter. By the way, I'm singing the anthem on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, June 18th.
It's coming up.
It is coming up.
It's getting closer and closer. Speaks.
Thanks for reminding me, Alex.
Yeah, you nervous yet? Yeah. You should be.
I am nervous. Every time I hear somebody good doing the anthem, you know? And today... I thought the band The Empty Pockets did a very nice job. Very nice job. Chicago band, Americana, a little bit of doo-wop to them. And they were coming up to sing the seventh inning stretch. And the aforementioned Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zeman had a good time talking about The Empty Pockets. And the only person who heard it was Chris Tannehill.
We had a really nice quick little visit in between innings last inning by the band that sang the national anthem and are going to do the seventh inning stretch. Empty Pockets, they are blues band that are, you know, doing the stretch today. So huge Cub fans, very nice people, and they kind of came in here to see you, partner.
And you and Zach and Paul.
Sure, but yeah, we don't have that HOF after our name, and they've all been listening to you, you guys sound the same on the radio as you do in person. I said, that's how we feel when we listen to you.
Swing and a miss, strike three. De La Cruz out on strikes. Good off-speed pitch by Cabrera. One away, and Gavin Lux is the hitter. Deep pockets, blues band.
Empty pockets. You have the deep pockets. They got the empty pockets.
I thought I heard deep pockets.
No, that's what you were thinking when you
empty
left home today. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that throws a whole new light on the situation.
Yeah. they were looking for something from the deep pockets.
That would explain a few things. Gavin Lux, the batter, with a count of 1-0.
Maybe if you have them play at the Hughes Estate, they would have deep pockets.
So now I am confused. Their name is Empty
Pockets?
Pockets,
that's correct.
They are very talented. Those pockets aren't going to be empty for long if they keep singing at that level.
No, they were outstanding today, and they're about to do the seventh inning stretch here in a couple outs.
Maybe they'll change their name to partially Deep Pockets after today's performance. Yeah.
I think you could help that along. They're just two booths over.
I'd like to, but I got a little job to do here. There's a bouncer to first, fielded by Turner on assisted play.
Empty pockets, deep pockets. In Pat's defense, it sounded like Coombs said deep pockets because somebody, you know, was talking over him, or maybe it was Pat himself talking over him. But, man, that's delightful. You know what's the best thing is that Coomer, now that guy has deep pockets. That guy waters down the infield when need be.
One of the best.
One of the best there's ever been. You've seen it. You've seen it in action. You go down there hanging out like, we could eat here. Why don't we go down to this club? We'll go down to the club over here. They'll take care of us. And then Coom always takes care of them after they take care of us. It's he learned it from one of the best. Have I told the story on the air before? I mean, it's his story.
Well, even if you did, I'm sure there's people out there who haven't heard it, and I would love to hear it again. Dude, so go for it.
He had Kirby Puckett. Coombe tells the story, but like Kirby Puckett was the best to Coombe, and Coombe learned from him. When Coombe was a young player, Kirby Puckett had a duffel bag full of cash there in the clubhouse, and he said to young Coombe, look, if you ever need money, you just go ahead and you take what you need. Just let me know. Let me know what you take, because I'll know what's there. And so every once in a while, Coombe be like, Kirby, I could use a few dollars. And Kirby be like, there you go. Do what you need. Taking care of the young players. Kirby Puckett, in Coombe's words, was a 10.
That's how you do it.
I'm telling you. Wouldn't you like to be that guy? Wouldn't you like to be the old
vet? I like to be
vet?
Either of those guys. You're the guy who could just go into a duffel bag at any moment. Like, that'd be a good guy, too.
Well, we got to get our duffel bag scam going. It's not a scam. Excuse me. It's a grand gesture. Oh, stupid infidel gesture that we want to make for Kyle Tucker. I think this needs to have legs. I mean, if Kyle's going to stay, it's going to take something very special. For those who don't know, we decided as a grand gesture...
A radio bit.
It's a radio bit. Yeah, radio bit. One option is, look, I could write and sing a song. I could do a version of Steve Martin's King Tut for King Tuck, you know? And then we could play that, and we could deliver it to Kyle Tucker's house and hope that helps Operation Woo King Tuck.
Play it on a boombox outside of his windows. Like, I don't know how that's going to work.
You know what you do? We could get the actual John Cusack.
He's probably in a high-rise. Well, John Cusack would have the access.
Yes, yeah, so we'd get John Cusack. We'll put him up on one of those cranes. We'll put him up on one of Kevin Warren's cranes into the sky. John Cusack there with the boombox above his head.
You heard back from K-Dub yet?
My close personal friend. No.
I have not either.
I have not. Right? I have not been able to add a song to the Kevin Warren Soul playlist. I have not been able to add that. But yeah, so that's one thing we could do for Operation Woo King Tuck. Or we could do Tanny's idea, which is to bring $600 million over to Kyle Tucker and see if that helped. And we need to do that. We figured out the math. We need 600 duffel bags, $1 million in each duffel bag. About 22 pounds for $1 million is how the math works out. It's going to have to be big duffel bags, but then we need 3 Sprinter vans in order to put all the duffel bags in there, and we need the Spiegel & Holmes logo on the side of each Sprinter van and the side of each duffel bag. Alex, is that enough, or should we get the Spiegel & Holmes logo also on each of the $100 bills, you think?
I think that's enough. $600 million?
Yeah.
I think that's enough. So the question is, where do we get that?
Well, I mean... I
haven't thought that through yet.
Just cash in some Odyssey stock. All right?
I got to think like a producer.
You really do.
I got an hour to figure this out.
You got an hour.
You know, in the 1980s, a producer would have just gone ahead and got $600 million, and we, you know, it would be a done deal.
Really? That's how much they made in the 80s?
Well, no, that's how good the producers were.
That's how good the producers were. They would have found a way. Would have found a hotel name, somebody who's just registered and then gotten access. Just talk your way through it. Jesse Rogers, the best I ever saw at doing that. That's absolutely right. So anyway, that's our plan for Kyle Tucker. In the meantime, the Cubs lose the first of 3 to the Cincinnati Reds and Terry Francona, and they've got to take the next 2 because you got to win a series against a team like this at home. You just wanted their place. You're in the midst of this 21-game stretch against teams with losing records. If you can take 2 out of 3 here and take 2 out of 3 of the next one, I heard Marshall and Layla and Grody talking about it today. You can go 16-5 in that 21-game stretch. That'd be good. By the way, Marshall Harris texted in. He said that Pat Hughes smiled because he saw a guy who isn't afraid and doesn't have weekly excuses to act like a duck and then project that on me in terms of Tecmo.
Wow.
Speaks, you've ducked me the last 2 times I asked. Daffy is what I'm calling you from now on. I bet you got
it. Whoa, let's not get personal here. Let me dump that. I'll dump that out.
I think he means the duck, Daffy. Just not my personality. And I prefer Howard. If I'm going to have to choose a famous duck, I prefer Howard. He got to hang out with a young Leah Thompson. Oh, man, it was a good cable movie back in the day. Marshall continues, I bet you got a Kevin Duckworth jersey on right now in the studio. I do not.
Wow, this is really committing to the bit. I like it. Really,
finding a whole bunch of different ways to call me a duck. It really is.
You should be sponsored by Aflac, Speaks.
Aflac! Quack! Aflac! R.I.P. Gilbert Gottfried. Wait. Congratulations to our executive producer, or our sports director. What is he? He's our sports director, right? That is.
Yeah, that's
program manager.
To be honest with you, I don't know what the current title is. Sports director was it for a long time, but I think you know, in this modern day corporate structure, I think it's probably fancier than that.
I believe he's the program manager.
Yes, that sounds right.
Yes, Ryan Porth.
I could just look at an email that he sent.
Our suit overlord, one of our suit overlords, on the birth of his young son, Joey. And I'm thrilled for him and Amanda and their daughter, Brooklyn. I saw a picture of young Brooklyn holding Joey. Man, that's the goods. That's a big sister and a little brother. They got each other forever, right? Through good and bad. Honestly, like, that is the absolute goods.
Yeah, what a blessing. It's usually, like, you know, one follows the other when you have kids, like, in a short time frame, you know, but they've got the boy and the girl.
Yeah, the boy and the girl.
That's pretty cool.
And Joey, and I can report that Joey is not for Joey Votto. Big-time Cincinnati Reds fan Ryan Porth. Unfortunately, Joey is not for Joey Votto. It's a family name. But a Joey Votto onesie may have already been ordered. I was also told that. So young Joey can answer that for the rest of his life. But Ryan was watching the game. And I think Ryan Porth is forever going to remember that he watched Andrew Abbott twirl 7 one-hit shutout innings at Wrigley Field as the first sporting event he ever watched with his infant son. I think he will remember that forever. And I say that as the father of a 13-year-old who remembers the first sporting event I watched with my then infant son, who is now 13. And it just got me thinking about that. Listeners out there, you remember the first sporting event you watched with your infant? I'll tell you, mine was the weekend of January 12th, 2012, and the game that I really remember watching as I held young Ruben in the hospital was the Giants beating up on the Packers 37-20. I was so thrilled. The number one seed Packers lost their opening game. Eli Manning just absolutely dominating the Packers there in Green Bay as I dealt with encomium, which is the black tar-like expulsion from the buttocks of an infant that, whew, man.
I saw them at Metro. They were awesome.
Tanny, I'm telling you, it was like the Exxon Valdez disaster in Alaska, but worse. You know what I mean? Like, not as many birds died, but still, it was just as rough. But I'll never forget that's the sporting event that I watched with the infant son. So, Tanny, you're a dad. Do you remember the first sporting event you watched with young Juju?
Well, it's funny because the day my wife went into labor, 2014, you were doing the show with Max still, yes?
Yes.
So, I remember Jose Abreu's rookie year, right? They were playing in Oakland, and he had hit a home run that was just barely over the wall. It was a line drive, and it made a sound. And I remember you on the air saying, wow, the sound off of Jose Abreu's bat, I'm sure Tanny could remix that something fierce and really make something out of that. And then I was on, like, paternity leave. I was like, I won't get a chance to do that. So, like, that was the other thing that was rattling around in my head the entire time, is thinking about, what am I going to do with that Jose Abreu sound? But I don't remember one specific thing, but, like, that season the White Sox were playing in Dodger Stadium, and you kind of knew this may be the last time you'll get to consume, like, Vin Scully calling, like, your team's game. So I just remember that whole series just, like, going back and watching the Vin Scully calls of these White Sox games.
Wow.
And just, like, being up late at night too on the West Coast games with an infant child.
Sure,
like,
you got to do a diaper change or the midnight feeding or what have you.
Yeah, just really soothing hearing Vin on those calls.
Wow,
yeah.
That's tremendous. I love that. I love that. I'm thrilled for Porth that he'll have this moment. I did hope that he was going to remember a vicious Cubs comeback and that young Joey would learn of baseball heartbreak right here on day one of his existence.
Day one, yeah, maybe not, but there'll be plenty more opportunities,
plenty of time and opportunities to learn just how cruel baseball is. But I kind of wanted that to be embedded deep into the soul of Ryan and his son. Alex, you don't have any children.
I don't, but okay. I do want to share this. This is kind of on a more serious note, but my co-host, when I worked in Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Todd Brommelkamp, huge Cubs fan.
Yeah.
And his wife gave birth to his son, Thomas, and I believe it was June or July of 2016. And his son was born pretty prematurely, and he's doing well now. He's fully healthy, but at the time, he was battling all kinds of issues from being born prematurely. And Todd always he always talked about how he's a huge Cubs fan, but the fact that they were that good and making a run towards the World Series and dealing with all of the struggles that his family was going through at the time, it was it brought him even closer to the Cubs. And I think like winning the World Series that year to happen in 2016 with the birth of his son, I just can't imagine as a fan and like as a father what that moment was like for him. So shout out to Todd, because like I hear all about this. I don't have kids, but I look forward to that day where I get to watch first game with my kid.
Thanks for sharing that, man. That's beautiful. And that's the thing, is like they're just games, right? They're just silly little games. And this is just a silly little talk show talking about the games, but they're also markers in time. And then when you think about those games in the future, they become time travel. And it takes you to a real emotional place. Texter says, the memory I have with my infant son was when Brady came back from being down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. He sat on my lap the entire game at 3 months old. How cool is that?
But it's funny, right? Like, I always joke around, like, you know, the best day of my life is when my daughter was born, second best day, October 26, 2005, when the White Sox won the World Series. But
yeah.
But I'm almost more grateful that it happened before I was even married, before I had a child, because I wonder if had that happened now, had my team won the World Series now,
yeah,
would it be as impactful? Like, the fact that it happened at that point in my life when that was, like, everything to me, I think it still yep. holds such a higher place, you know, in my mind because of that.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Texter says, I just had my first child, my son, 5 weeks ago. I watched the NFL draft with him, his first day home. I'll always remember that. Guess what, Texter? If you're a Bears fan, Colston Loveland scores a touchdown in 5 years, you're still going to remember watching him get drafted by the Bears while your infant son was home for the first day, you know? Another texter, Game 7, June 8, 2010. I was still in the hospital with my infant and watched Patrick Kane's shot disappear into the net in Philadelphia. Tried to change my son's name to Kaner, but my wife wasn't having it. Good effort. Good effort. See? I mean, that's the goods. I'm never forgetting. That whole NFL weekend, Aaron Rodgers getting beat and Alex Smith out-dueling Drew Brees in a game that weekend. And if we ever get a chance to talk to Alex Smith, I got to tell him that. The Alex Smith Niners beat the Saints like 36-32 or something like that. It was a crazy, crazy playoff game. And that stuff is never going to leave our minds. Thanks so much for listening. We'll keep rolling here on Spiegel and Holmes. It's Spiegs with you solo on 670 The Score. When we come back, look, a lot of the noise is now gone, and that's good. But we've gotten reminded of the dynamic we need to focus on this Bears offseason. We'll explain and expound next on 670 The Score.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
It's Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
First, let's start off with it is what everybody would love to ask about is this whole storm that happened. It wasn't something that... No, we wanted to happen at this point.
No. You didn't want it to happen at this point. It's fascinating how this whole thing has been processed. It's Spiegel and Holmes right here on the Score on a Friday afternoon. Lawrence is off today. It's Matt Spiegler with you solo. Chris Tannehill and Alex Kuhn here along with me. A little bit later on, we'll get to a few different things. A Score overnight caller, Nemesis, has found his way on the phone lines to a radio friend of ours. And also, I have a Catholic Church-related injury that I need to discuss with you guys. I'm going to need some help kind of processing that from some of my Catholic friends. I happen to have at least one, two. Do I have two? I definitely have one. I think at least one. That's all I need. That's good. I mean, I would.
We'll find out.
I would happily. Tease, yeah. I would have more. It's fine. I'm just saying it's good to have at least one. Anyway, but here's the point. The point is that how this story has been processed. When you're local and you're in the middle of it, you're in the belly of the beast. I mean, we played Caleb right as it happened, and Lawrence had some understandable thoughts about the opening statement about, oh boy, that was rambling a little bit, but, you know, could have been tighter, and, you know, from a PR perspective. But we listened to the whole thing, and, you know, we ended up feeling really happy for Caleb that he talked about it the way that he did and thought he absolutely killed it, right? I thought he absolutely killed it. Nationally, it's been almost universal that he killed it, that he did a great job of burying it. Still, it's an opportunity for people to play it and bat him around because it's a high-profile name and it's a quarterback and it's a big market, etc. But I think we've had a chance to really process this and move on. And I want to remind everybody of the dynamic that we actually need to be focusing on for this Bears offseason. But before we kind of close the book on that and move on to this other thing, I need to hear this because this is Greg Olson talking about the story of Caleb watching film and watching film alone and then coming out and having to say, no, I knew how to watch film, but it was just, you know, the next level of watching film, the nuance and everything about it. Greg Olson had a chance to talk about his experience with a young Cam Newton. This is from The Herd the other day.
Yeah, it is, though, an element of the sport that there is a little bit of a learning curve. I don't think most young guys coming out of college, unless you just happen to be playing for, you know, the right coach, the right position coach, coordinator, whoever at the college level, to teach you the art of film study. I think we used to have a joke, like, we're not in here watching movies, right? There's a lot of guys that put the game on, play one, and they just go play one, play two, play three, and they just go through the sequence of a game. You know, yes, you're watching film. Are you really getting the tendencies and really know what you're looking at to study? My experience is most guys have to learn that. Most guys have to learn that over the career. How I watched film in my 14th year was wildly different than how I watched it my first and second year. And I think it's up to the organization. It's up to the coach, especially at the quarterback position, where there is no greater responsibility than understanding not only everything of what your team's doing, but of course what the opposing team is doing defensively. So I can't imagine Ben Johnson's going to let that go on at all. So I think for Caleb Williams and his development, the right guy now is in control in Chicago, both over the team and then obviously offensively with what Ben Johnson can do. But when I read that report, I kind of did a, ooh, like, true, not true, scales of truth, whatever. There's always probably two sides to every story, but just the fact that that was even suggested is not a great reflection of the organization, for sure.
So, I mean, that's the meatiness. That's the reality of it. And Greg Olson speaks to the nuance of it, it really nicely. That is it true? Is it not true? And just as Caleb did in his denial, he kind of still admitted that he needed to learn the nuance of it, needed to take it extra places, needed to, you know, make sure he was getting all the little tricks on how to do it. And that's what Greg Olson's talking about. And that's okay. And like in Caleb's denial, he kind of laughed at it, like, yeah, that was a funny one. That was a funny one, because nobody wants to be thought of as somebody who doesn't know how to watch film. As a quarterback, you don't want to be thought of that way. And he was clearly embarrassed by the nature of that report. But the nuance is what Greg Olson just talked about. That, yeah, you know how to watch it, but you got to learn more. Man, Ben Johnson and Jared Goff. And I talked about this a few weeks ago during a Ben's Vision segment on Spiegel and Holmes. They hung out that first offseason that they really got a chance to hang out. And they carved out some time. They made an agreement to carve out a weekend. And they hung out on one weekend of the offseason just at the facility. They ordered food. He said they ordered Chick-fil-A. They ordered a few other things. And they just kind of didn't leave the film room, and they just watched film together and talked through everything with the offense. And like, you think Jared Goff didn't know how to watch film when he got to Detroit? Of course he did. But you got to learn to see it the way that Ben Johnson sees it. And he has talked about that many times, that the quarterback and the head coach have to see the offense the exact same way. And that's what he's trying to build.
And that's like, you know, getting back to the, you know, these guys as communicators. I mean, Jared Goff comes from Sean McVay, who, as we hear all the time, is one of the great articulators of just concepts and explaining things. And if it didn't resonate with him, and maybe it did resonate, but he just wasn't able to put it in action, and then maybe Ben Johnson just says it a different way or has a different tact, and all of a sudden, boom, like he's like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, this is the connection you are dreaming of being forged. And folks, that's the dynamic that is the number one thing in this offseason. And we got to be able to think about it and talk about it without the other noise that has been there informing it too much. But frankly, it's why the other stuff has gotten talked about. This idea of like, he doesn't know how to watch film. What's going on? Was it his responsibility? Was it not his responsibility? Because right now, he's got a big time responsibility. Caleb has a massive responsibility. There's a huge offseason for him. Incredibly huge. I keep coming back to what Olin Krutz had said. What Olin Krutz had said in one of his first appearances with me and Lawrence after the Bears had spent all this money on the offensive line. They'd gotten the head coach and they spent all the money on the offensive line. Do we have it, Tanny? The simplicity of what Olin Krutz has said. It's fine. What he said was, like, they have invested in you, now you invest in them. That as a quarterback, you have to see the investment. They went and they got you the best offensive mind they could. They went and got you the best head coach. And they went and got you the offensive line. Don't be afraid to step up. Now you invest in them. That means work your ass off in this particular offseason. The underlying question is, how is this going to work out? And we don't have any games to use as data points for another several months. So what can we do? We can hear how they speak about each other, and we can glean whatever we can. Now that the noise has subsided, I've gone back and listened to the things that Caleb said about Ben the other day and about how he gives them this great detailed analysis of what they're supposed to see. So then when they get on the field, Caleb feels more prepared. And we can glean whatever we can from the way that Ben talks about Caleb. Now, how it comes, this analysis comes through us in the media and us here at The Score. How it comes through us to you is another level of the question. You know, sometimes you can hear what you think might be someone having a bias, having a slant. And you could hear my analysis or Lawrence's analysis or anybody, David or Mully, And you could say, man, that is imbued with their bias and their slant. I'll tell you this much. I'm going to strive to bring you my analysis as cleanly as possible while still being informed by what we have seen and heard before. And it can be a tricky balance. You may hear it differently, and therein lies the potential tension between you, the listener, and us, the talker. You know? And we've gotten a lot of it, frankly, the past week or two, like, you guys talking about this, whatever. It, like, I hope that that tension is in the proper context for you and for us as we move forward. Because, man, I don't know if Caleb's going to make the big leap that he's got to make. I don't know. I want it to happen so badly. I think it's entirely possible. But does he have it in him? I think so. I hope so. But I don't know. And my job and my interest is in picking apart what these guys say about each other, what we hear about the practice habits, what we hear about the offseason work, to see if it's going to work or not. And in that regard, I loved hearing this from Ben Johnson the other day, talking about what it's been like so far to work with Caleb Williams.
Very attentive. He's been very detailed in terms of the meetings. He's taking great notes. He's asking excellent questions. The more we're out on the grass together, we're figuring out what we can put in the morning and what we can execute later on in the afternoon. And so that's been the fun part of it so far, because there's for everybody, there's a saturation level that we got to find what that point is, so that as coaches, we don't ask too much out of any player over the course of the season. We got to be able to download a game plan and execute it. And so It's been a healthy process right now. I think JT Barrett's doing a phenomenal job. Declan's a big part of that as well.
So this is the stuff that I'm incredibly interested in. And every little nugget that we can get from Declan Doyle, from JT Barrett, from Case Keenum, who you'll hear from in a minute, from Ben Johnson about this process, I am voracious when it comes to this. And I would hope that you are too. Because we have seen quarterbacks be coached poorly in this town, one by an offensive structure in Matt Nagy, and the other by a defensive structure in Matt Eberflus. You know, we've seen it go poorly. Now, hopefully, we're going to see it go well, and we want to learn from it. We've learned a lot watching the Mitch era and the Justin era, haven't we? And now we think we know how it's supposed to work, but let's see how it does, and it depends on the people involved. Some interesting stuff in there about there's a saturation level, says Ben Johnson. We've got to find what the point is. So he's talking about what kind of learner is Caleb Williams? How much can he handle? How much can he take in the morning and execute later on in the afternoon? That is a completely different barometer, I'm sure, for every quarterback that Ben Johnson has worked with. He may not be the same kind of learner and executor. He's a human. He's going to be different. And so Ben wants to find out where that saturation level is, so they don't ask too much of any player over the course of the season. Have to be able to download a game plan and execute it. So he knows he's got a difficult defense. All right, here comes, you know, right off the bat, he's working on Minnesota and Brian Flores. Week 12, I think it is, he's going to be working on Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. When he gets into that game plan, by then, he will know what kind of learner Caleb Williams is. If he's got stuff he needs to make sure that Caleb does, he might need to show it to him 2 or 3 weeks in advance and map out a game plan of when to teach him. Or does he learn by then, I can show Caleb stuff on a Monday night and we practice it on a Wednesday and it's locked and loaded. You got to learn that stuff about your guys. That's fascinating to me. Says it's been a healthy process so far. Boy, Ben Johnson's smart, man. He's smart as a teacher. Yeah, he's smart as an offensive strategist, but as a teacher and a communicator, dude, that is the goods. If there's anything I've learned about coaching at every level and in any sport, how well can you communicate what you want your players to do? And how well can you figure out what kind of personality they are? So do they need your grace or do they need you to be a hard ass? What do they need? That's the relationship stuff, man. And I think Ben Johnson gets it. Here's Case Keenum talking about Caleb's effort level and how quickly it is being evident. Because this is the other part. Here's the other part. You got to focus as viewers, as listeners, as media, we need to focus on Caleb's attention and his detail and how hard is he working. Here's Case Keenum.
He's beating me in the building. Like, that's the type of guy he is. He wants it that bad. and getting little extra walkthroughs with the guys, meeting with the guys. I think I'm missing, you know, a little extra film study right now. That's, you know, just the guys grabbing each other and, hey, let's go watch a few plays from 7-on-7 today to talk about this, you know, different choice route, you know, how we run this type of route with this type of leverage and this type of coverage. So yeah, it's been a lot of that, which has been fun. It's just talking ball. It's getting to know each other. That's what the spring is for. You know, I think first of all, getting to know each other and speaking the same language, but then, you know, getting into the weeds a little bit, how to play quarterback and what that looks like.
Man, is that good to hear or what? That's Case Keenum, NFL lifer, back up with a million different franchises, executor of a lot of different systems, guy who's played in a lot of big games, and he's been the backup in a lot of really well-coached teams, saying that Caleb Williams is beating him into the building.
They're buying into you, right? That's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them.
That's it. They're buying into you, you buy back into them. And that seems to be what is happening, Olin. Seems to be what is happening. It's what Ben Johnson says and thinks, what Case Keenum says and thinks. If there's stuff privately that they're saying and thinking, we don't know about it. And we'll be digging to try and find out. But man, hearing that Caleb Williams is not just studying with Ben Johnson, but also, as we've heard from Ben and from Case Keenum and others, and it was in the Albert Breer report, Caleb is working with Case Keenum outside of the allowable windows in the collective bargaining agreement. That's why you get a veteran quarterback like that. So he's kind of an extension of the coaches, and those two can just hang out together and do some work. And
did you see him, by the way?
Who's that?
Speaks Case Keenum
did
at
not,
the podium.
Did not.
So I noticed this. I know a lot of people did. But
and if you noticed it, I'm sure Stone noticed it.
He's wearing the sweat. He's wearing long sleeve sweater and the forward hat. He looks like a coach.
So he's ready.
He looks
not
like
only a coach, like, you know,
like a coordinator. He looks
like a linebacker's coach or an O-line coach.
Oh, really? Because yeah. He's thick like
more
that.
Than Declan yeah. Doyle and Ben Johns. He well, looks like a coach.
Declan,
he's older
Declan
than them.
Doyle.
Too. Yes.
Declan Doyle's bar mitzvah, I believe, is this Saturday. You know, Declan Doyle has a very youthful look about him. I know he's got a goatee, but so do a lot of 13-year-olds that I know. It's not true.
Actually. He wasn't wearing the backwards hat and the jersey, the practice jersey. He looks like a coach.
So he looks more like a coach than a player. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to want that life. He's going to be a Hall of Famer at the bank.
Like I had said, if that guy's out there on the field taking a hit, something went horribly wrong. Like, and it's not like he doesn't look athletic or anything, but he does just look like a guy who's been through it.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Right, and like I openly wonder whether he wants the number two job. You know? Like, does he want the number three job? Tyson can play. That's all right. Let him play. I don't want to get hit. But, you know, who knows? But no, that's good because that's his role. So we know that Caleb and Case are doing the extra work. But did you hear that? That's a third amount of extra work that he references there. They're doing 7-on-7 conversations. Hey, let's go watch a few plays from 7-on-7 and talk about this choice route and stuff. Case is saying that he's missing that. So that means that Caleb is taking the skill position guys off to the side. Case isn't even involved in that. So that's how hard Caleb is working. He's beating Case Keenum into the building. He's staying later than Kevin Byard, right? We learned that last week. So he's beating Case Keenum in. He's staying later than Kevin Byard. He's working with Case Keenum outside of the CBA regulations. And he's working on 7-on-7 stuff with the skill position guys outside of Case Keenum's purview. Folks, that sounds like a young quarterback who is trying to make the most of his opportunity. That's the dynamic I am focused on for the rest of this offseason when it comes to the quarterback and the coach and the backup quarterback and the whole damn thing. Because I want to see him hit the ground running. He still might not. Game speed is going to change things. It could very well be ugly for the first couple of weeks, or at least there could be some adjustment period. But man, this kid's work ethic and this kid's confidence and his desire to be great is top notch. And if that doesn't fill you with optimism, then folks, I don't know what's going to. It's Matt Spiegler with you on the Spiegel and Holmes Show here on 670 The Score. We will keep covering this, of course, but I need to I need to get into this Catholic Church-related injury that I have, and we need to talk about an incredible happening that is coming to the South Side as well. Keep it right here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on...
Afternoons on The Score.
All the things in my life I thought I could say, but the Pope knows who I am.
I don't know how many papal blessings AJ needs.
You know... we had our fun, didn't we? Had a few days of unbelievably raucous Pope-related sports talk and really Pope-related radio all over the city, all over the country. It's been really fun. The memes have been outrageous. But life now moves forward with a Pope from Chicago with incredible, incredible plans to bring everybody together. On the 14th of June at 2:30 p.m., that's Father's Day weekend. It's a Saturday, Father's Day weekend. At Raitt Field, of course, home of the White Sox. The Cubs are playing on the other side of town on that day. I believe it is an afternoon game.
Oh, so for all those who want to see a Catholic ceremony at two different ballparks on the same day,
you can
get on that red line. Oh, wait, yep. It's just that one.
Yeah, just that one. 2:30 p.m., music, film, and in-person testimonials about Pope Leo, Bab, Southside Bob, a lifelong White Sox fan, the first Pope and the last Pope from the United States. I think we can all agree we're never going to be given another one after the way that we as a country and as a media are dealing with this. Just the mockery that we're making of the whole thing, the embarrassment that we're all creating. Hand up on this one. I think this is our first and our last. So let's make it work, Bob. And so, and the Pope, he's not going to be there, unfortunately. He will be, though, delivering a special video message to the young people of the world that will broadcast during the event. And my goodness, is this going to be a thing? But here's the exciting part to me. I mean, if the Pope wasn't enough, if the Pope on video was not enough for you, how about the fact that the MC is going to be our own Chuck Swirsky?
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
I mean, come on. Come on, that's phenomenal. What a wonderful fit, honestly. Chuck Swirsky, a devout Catholic, a man who has been seen at Mass by thousands of listeners and have talked with Chuck for decades about sports and faith mixed together. And Chuck gets to be the MC of that. I am thrilled for the legend that is Chuck Swirsky. And I also couldn't help myself but think about all the times we have done our Swirsky impressions, and they've always included boop, boop, and now it's poop, poop.
What?
Yes, I know, Chuck. But like poop. I mean, it's just, have we always been doing that? Has the Swirsky impression always been a subtle nod to the eventual collaboration with the Pope that is now before him? Man, just amazing. I'm thrilled for Chuck, and I know that's going to be cool. And they're going to sell the place out, right? I mean, even though the Pope is on video, just the gathering itself. I know the Cardinal's going to be there, right? And I think, Tanny, you're going, aren't you? I have to assume that you're going.
So, yeah, full disclosure, you know, no, usually don't do religion or politics on the air, but I was raised Catholic, but have since, you know, it's not been a big part of my life, right? But I was just talking with the wife today about this, and we were talking about, like, should this be a thing that we go to? You know, I'd made the joke on the air before, like, oh, I may return to the church before I return to the ballpark. And yeah, now possibly I get to do both at the same time. But like, really, I was thinking about it. Like,
you get to do it.
Like all of the great moments that I've experienced with friends, with family at that ballpark. And this one is like sort of transcends all of
this. This is everything. This should be going to the ballpark often can be a spiritual experience. Lord knows. I talk about that. Lord knows. I talk about that often. The spirituality, the beauty, the magic of baseball. And now you get a legit spiritual opportunity at the ballpark itself. Incredible. I'm told that we have a remarkable opportunity to be joined by Pope Bob right now on 670 The Score. Pope Bob, I am thrilled that you took the time to call. Pope Bob joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. How are you this afternoon, sir? Thank you for calling.
It's great to be with you.
And also with you. Pope Bob, are you thrilled to be going to the South Side and being a part of this event coming up in the middle of June? I imagine it's got to be thrilling for you.
It's exciting to attend in a different capacity, is what I would say. I've been going to the park for a long time. I've been through all the different names of the park. But to be at the rate is the most special of all the names. And this is a team that I believe in. I have Miguel Vargas on my fantasy team, and he's performed quite well. He can play multiple positions and the Yahoo format, and very excited to see everyone.
How did you end up on the Yahoo format, Pope Bob? Was that a group decision? Is that something you've done for a long time?
It's a group of friends of mine from Villanova, and we've been doing it for years, and we've moved from Yahoo to ESPN back to Yahoo over the years because, and I'm not sure how this works, but the interface, I guess is what you call it, is just, it's a bit more rudimentary, and in some ways that's an advantage. And I think that there's a metaphor there about many other things in the way that life is working in 2025.
Oh, please expound on that. It's an opportunity for you to transfer some of your baseball knowledge to life itself, if you would.
Well, I just think it's important that we stay simple and see our way forward together, linking arms as much as possible. And in that sense, I really like what Max Venable's been doing this season, because by simply putting Vargas a little further up in the order, he's playing station to station baseball, but he's also, if I could say this,
yeah,
he's really brought quite a bit of more run producing opportunities to my squad, which is Bob's guys, which has been the name I've had forever for my team. I've been ribbed about this for some years now in the Vatican and surrounding areas. But
how much fantasy baseball conversation happens in the Vatican inside the walls? We might be surprised by that.
Well, some people know that I play tennis, but I also I do enjoy fantasy baseball. I don't participate in fantasy football. I have tried to turn some of my brothers on to the merits of fantasy baseball, which I really think are threefold. One is community. It will always bring more community. Number two, mm-hmm. you learn about players that you would not often know anything about. The idea that I know at all who Perdomo is. Perdomo? I'm not sure how to say
Perdomo,
his name.
No, you're on it. Perdomo, Geraldo Perdomo.
Perdomo, yes. He's been fantastic, by the way. It's been a great year for shortstops. But then the last thing is just the opportunity to be competitive in a way that is not destructive. And again, I think that's an important thing to remember in 2025.
That's quite lovely, actually. That seems, I've never thought of fantasy baseball as being so spiritually honest and kind of correct. That's quite lovely.
Great lessons to be made there. And again, I just want to reiterate, I'm a tennis player. There's been some discrepancies in the reporting, and I feel terrible for members of my family that have been having to explain certain things. I'm a tennis player. I've always been a tennis player. I'm not a pickleball player, nor have I ever been a pickleball player.
Well, there's a lot to follow up on there, but I have to ask, how did it feel to be miscast as a Cubs fan initially, Pope Bob? Was that a difficult time for you and the family and the church itself?
It was a difficult time for my brother. And obviously, you may have heard from my brother that my mother is a Cub fan. And I just was checking the scores, and I saw that the Cubs lost today, and I'm sorry to see that. They ran into a surprisingly excellent young left-handed arm, an Abbott from the Reds. I don't think anyone foresaw what he was going to be bringing today, but also, as much as I love Justin Turner, I have questions about running him out there at first base as often as Craig Counsell does. But I'm a Sox fan. And so, it's been an interesting last few weeks, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. Pope Bob, has anyone within the church expressed concern for the volume of attention you seem to still be giving baseball and fantasy baseball? You have a lot on your plate. So it's a little jarring to hear your knowledge be this deep and solid.
I think that Theodore Roosevelt, if I remember correctly, was a fly fisherman. And I think that high-pressure positions that require a great deal of decision-making and thought to the broader public really do require people to find outlets. And so fantasy baseball has been that for me for a long time now. I go back to the rotisserie days, which a lot of people aren't familiar with that, but and even Stratomatic. I may be aging myself, but
maybe, but I think everybody knows how old you are, Pope Bob. All right, last thing.
Everything is public. Yes.
Yeah, it's all out there. It's all out there. Are you looking forward to coming back to the South Side? Any haunts or any things you're particularly going to make sure that you do on this trip back coming up in the middle of June?
I've been told that security and sort of the arrangements will be different, but if everything went my way, I would be at Rica Bene's. Pulling up to a breaded steak sandwich and then sitting in the seat that I love so much and rooting on Bob's guys.
Thank you so much, Pope Bob. What a pleasure. I hope we get a chance to speak to you again. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm a long time fan.
I knew it. See? I knew it. Man. So glad he called.
What a great phone call to hear, especially, you know, in 2025.
In 2025. I'd be concerned if I was one of the Cardinals, you know? I'd be concerned. His knowledge about, like, Justin Turner getting this much playing time today, he seems to have Andrew Abbott thoughts. That would concern me as a high-ranking Cardinal. So, Tanny and Alex, I myself had a church-related injury yesterday. I went to a funeral, went to support my wife at a funeral for her Auntie Lynn, who was a lovely, lovely person. Condolences to that family and to her son, Dave, Dave Dominguez, who's a listener to this show and to this station. And I was very glad to be there to pay respects. But can anybody guess?
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Can anybody guess what my Catholic Church-related injury was that I suffered yesterday?
Turn an ankle going up the steps?
No. It's specific to the church itself. So as my wife and my mother-in-law were kneeling...
Oh, that was going to be my next guess.
As they lowered the pew to kneel, my wife says, you don't have to kneel. It's okay. You can just sit, you know, because not everybody does. And I, not being Catholic, I didn't want to. But it lowered upon my foot, okay? And it absolutely drove into my big toe.
Oh, no. One million to one shot.
And my mother-in-law was the one who was on there. And it's Bubby. And I'm going, Bubby, get up. Bubby, hold on, get up. But I don't want to disturb her praying. And so Bubby just kind of leaned on that. She's praying hard. And my toe, it might be broken. It's possible that my big toe is broken. So I don't know. Is this what I get for some of the Pope jokes I've been making?
Possibly, yeah. And after Bubby was done praying and saw you there with your injuries, like, oh, didn't work.
Did Bubby get up?
Yes, eventually Bubby did get up.
Bubby is down right now.
Bubby is down right now. But yeah, no, she eventually did get up, and I appreciated that. But yeah, I was hurting right there. What if those were her prayers? Sort of like, I want to hurt my son-in-law. The way I'm going to do it is by leaning on this pew. Got to be careful. So folks out there, you know, I can't be the first person to have this as an injury. It's got to be a common church-related injury.
It has to be the most common Catholic church-related injury.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm surprised you guys couldn't guess it. You know, I figured that it was bound to happen. 670 The Score is where you are. And aren't you glad? Aren't you proud to be here right now?
No.
Whatever, Steve Stone. Whatever. It is Spiegs here solo on Spiegel and Holmes. When we come back, a longtime caller, nemesis of The Score, has found his way to a dear friend on the air. I need to check this out, and we'll check it out together next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
To Glenview. What's up, Doc?
Yeah, this is a black cat. I don't know, your guy wouldn't take black cat for a name. But I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Let me remind you, you've got to use your real name from now on.
Really?
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
What happened to, like, West Side Mike back in 1992 and Barbecue Bob and all those guys?
You mean Mike from East Chicago?
Yeah.
He passed away about a year ago.
Okay.
What's so funny about that? Crying out loud.
The great Les Grobstein. He loved callers. He loved talking to callers. It was the lifeblood of his overnight show for decades in Chicago and certainly for a long, long time here at The Score. But he didn't really like that guy. He didn't really like Doc Mike.
Hey, Dave. I mean, Dave.
Wouldn't you
Dave,
think Dave, that Dave, if you Dave, had somebody Dave, Dave, was sober him, on the field?
All right, he didn't like that guy either. Okay, we're up to two. There might be more than that. It's possible.
Les has banned me for a million years.
All right, that guy, He didn't like him, so that's three. All right, good point. Danny, you're making your point very well.
It's all the same guy, just different names.
See, that's the thing. He would call up and he'd have... See, I remember when he was Mike from the West Side, so he's referencing himself there.
See, wow, what? I never see that. I never knew that wrinkle.
Oh, yeah, he's referencing one of his own monikers, because he used to call... Because I used to do Saturday overnights into Sunday on the Score way, way back in the day. On 1160 when we were just on 5,000 watts, but still available overnights. And overnight, we'd have a pretty good signal. But he used to call up, and he used to talk about steroids. And he used to say that he was a doctor and that steroids were actually good. And then I think he changed his theory and steroids were bad. But he talked like he knew the entire universe of performance enhancement with authority.
During COVID, he called and said he had just opened up his clinic in Ecuador.
I mean... This is someone who's had a long-standing relationship with the radio station, and many of our listeners, and certainly lots of our staff, have obviously had a relationship with his relationship. So you're telling me that he found his way to evening radio on CBS Sports Radio with our good friend Bart Winkler? Is that what happened?
888-710-4ISN. Doc Mike is in Chicago. What's up?
You know, did you do your research on the Winklers in Menominee County, Michigan, in the UP?
No relation.
I can't believe it. That's like a rare name.
I know, but there's different pockets of us, and none of us are related to each other. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't.
Maybe it was like in the whenever 1800s or 1700s or whenever the name started. Maybe like the biggest dork in the town was called a Winkler, and it just spread from there. And that's like the meaning of the name, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was an outfitter for Whitetails in the UP for 33 years, and the Winkler family, big deer hunters up there. They were in construction. I think they had a junkyard up there. Fantastic family. And then here I'm listening to a Score. I was on a Score when it was born in 1992. Wow. I was on there all the time as West Side Mike.
Oh, okay. Right?
With Murphy and that other goofball. He does all the gambling.
Mike North.
But, you know, this thing with these Mickey Mouse. Who? Oh, yeah, he's dead.
Right. He did die.
Oh.
He got kicked off the Score. Then they rehired him, and he got the graveyard from 1 to 5 every morning with all the drunks in Chicago. But
well, I'm aspiring to that.
Oh, my God. Bart Winkler has no idea what he just walked into, or what just walked into him. That guy is, he believes that he can go chapter and verse on the entire history of the radio station. That is amazing. I was on the Score back in 92. I mean, he was.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
That's him. You people have heard that drop for a long time. That's him. That's incredible.
This thing with everybody whining about these small markets, you know. You probably came down, I don't know if you're old enough, you probably came down to Chicago for a Bulls game in the 90s, right?
No, I did not. Nope. I never got down there for a Bulls game. I got down there for a Cubs game.
Well, yeah, that was when we were fighting a 108-year drought.
Yeah.
You know, the bleachers were 50 cents. You get in free after the third inning. The nuns were drinking over there. It's the world's largest tavern. 40,000 drunks every game. They don't know what the final is. Man. They got to go across the street to another tavern to figure out, you know, the post game.
Incredible. Incredible. I'm glad he's alive. I didn't like that he laughed at the idea of Grobber being dead. That I didn't like. Seems to be some arrogance that he has outlasted some people, you know? But hey, look, this radio station is a very special relationship with you, the listener, and you, the caller, and we need you. I gotta say, man, People can hate on him if they want, but he has indeed been a character in our sports radio lives for decades. That's nuts. Tanny, what were your thoughts as a lover of the audio history and the caller relationships of this station? That's fascinating.
Yeah,
it was
great. I sent it to some, you know, current coworkers who would appreciate it, and even some former coworkers who really, and they sent me stuff back in return from that same caller. But you mentioned the callers and how important they are. Can we take this call? So my man Derek isn't hanging on the entire weekend.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to go ahead, do it. Derek in St. Charles, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. I'm so sorry. I apologize. You're on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Hello.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's going really, really well. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, sir? You're going to wrap up our week full of shows here.
I can't believe that I have that kind of pressure on me. Does Chris Tannehill recognize my voice?
Tanny, do you recognize Derek from St. Charles's voice? He was triggered to call by you talking about how you got a Sega Genesis for Christmas back in the day.
Do I know a Derek in St. Charles? I don't know many Derek's.
If that really is his name.
Derek Stevens is the only one that we acknowledge at this point in my career. I'm sorry, you have to refresh my memory, Derek.
I'm sorry, Chris. We met at a remote previously, and I thought it was in the St. Charles area. I could be mistaken.
Oh, like, was it at Aurelio's up in Geneva?
Oh, you're right, Aurelio. So, right.
Of course.
So amazing. Right.
What a great night that was.
You guys could talk about this off the air. Do you have any sports thoughts, Derek, that you'd like to get in there?
No, I just wanted to hear the Rambling Grimace drop.
Oh. Well, give that man what he wants.
Derek wanted to embarrass both of us here at the end of the week.
That is tremendous. Go ahead. Give that man what he wants. Derek, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. That's his only request, is to connect with you, Chris Tannehill, from your memorable meeting, at least to you, at the Aurelio's in Geneva.
Based on the information we've picked up, I like him.
I have to go to the bathroom really bad.
All right, that's okay. Segment's over. This is the Green Apple Quick Steps, two sliders later. This is awesome. Get him down. Get him to the bathroom. Do it quick.
I never seen him move so fast.
Oh, my God. That was Ramblin' Grimace to the men's room out of nowhere. That was outstanding.
That's a wrap.
Hey, man, caller waits that long. He gets what he needs. Thanks so much for listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show. Thank you to our guest, Pope Bob. Just a tremendous, tremendous moment as we've now made contact with Pope Bob. I hope he calls again. Thank you to Alex Kuhn for doing a terrific job producing the show after producing the Cubs game. And he's going to stay and produce everything all night tonight and the overnight as well. Thank you, Alex. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for being himself. Adam Studzinski is working next. I see Sean Sears. He's also working next. What's coming up here on the radio station after us, folks?
Rami
Maklov is hosting after me. Rami does a terrific job, a wonderful part of the Score family. Thanks so much for listening. I'm off for Hit and Run on Sunday, off this weekend, but back on Monday for the Spiegel and Holmes show. We thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it, and we will return that favor with high-quality radio, at least as our intention, beginning Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to 670 The Score.
Drinking less, winning more.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.